fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, and my guest today is, once again, Lloyd Greenhaugh, who was with us yesterday. Lloyd works with Renewal Ministries, supports the work we're doing internationally through our ministry. He serves as a country coordinator. He and his lovely wife, Nancy, are a dynamic team, and they've traveled to, I don't know how many countries around the world now over the last 20, 25 years, really helping the Catholic Church and helping it get launched deeper into the new evangelization. At some point, maybe today or maybe later in the week, Floyd could be around. He can share some detail about those experiences. But he ended up yesterday on the program, if you didn't have a chance to listen to it, talking about his own personal conversion, how he came alive to the Lord, how he entered the Catholic Church, and how the Lord began pulling him out of the world, the experience of living in the world, and pulling him deeper into a relationship with him, and how that began to transform his life. And so welcome back, Lloyd.
It's wonderful to be back, Peter. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. So let's pick it up. We left off yesterday.
As I told the listeners yesterday, Peter, that I think every one of us has a multiplicity of conversion experiences, if you would. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like you have like a glass of water under Niagara Falls. And, you know, you start off with a thimble and whoops, you know, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. And then you take a water glass and then you take a swimming pool. And yeah. No matter how big the container is, God has more for each one of us out there. And I want to encourage everyone that God's got more for you, more for
yeah,
you
it's
in
like
your life.
He expands our container over time,
exactly.
Doesn't he?
It really
we might
does.
Start with a thimble or a shot glass or something like that. And then he fills that, and we begin to trust him more and open our hearts more, and we learn how to say yes to him. And all of this, it's a process of learning how to give him permission, isn't it? I mean, and that's a big part of your whole experience, right?
Well, it really is, Peter. And, you know, sometimes people think, oh, you know, you guys, you must have just be jumping from glory to glory. You know,
yeah.
God is just using you, and God has got done this for you and things like this. But you know, it's interesting. I have been reading again Ralph Martin's book on the fulfillment of all desire and this spiritual journey, if you would. And, you know,
book talks about the journey that what Teresa of Avila and John of the Cross and the Saint Catherine of Siena tell us and what Scripture tells us about the spiritual journeys, what you mean, right?
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, sometimes it's like Nancy teaches, she says that trials can be a good thing because trials reveal what's inside of us. And sometimes we focus on the trials and we think that this could be punishment, it could be, you know, whatever it might be, but it's not, you know. I think about even the example in Scripture, you know, that Jesus said, you know, where I'm going, you can't go. And Peter jumped up and, oh, Lord, wherever you go, I'm going to go with you. I'll even die for you. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, you'll die for me. I'll tell you, Peter, you know, before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And, you know, Peter, he was dead certain that he would die for Jesus. I mean, this was not words, this was not braggadocio, you know. I mean, he was certain in his own mind, but yeah. See, Jesus knew something, and he wanted Peter, before he could entrust him with the keys, he wanted Peter to understand himself, that apart from Jesus Christ, we can do nothing, you know, and to understand that the emptiness that's there without Christ filling that emptiness and things yeah. here. So I think we all go through that, if you would, the dark night of the soul, moving from this whole time where you're experience the love of God, this to going from the purgative to the illuminative stage, you know, just, you know, all of a sudden you know that there is a God, all of a sudden you know that he loves you, but you still keep one foot in both kingdoms and mm-hmm. you're trying to go. And at that time I was making a lot of money working for a big company and things here. And some of the people, I was a sales manager for the company, and some of the people that were running the company were doing business in Mexico. And they were doing some things that I knew about that were shady. They should not have been done. I wasn't involved in those things, but I knew about them. And you know, I kind of kept my mouth shut because mm-hmm. I still had one foot in this other door. Well, to make a long story short, what they were doing was trying to transport some of the goods that we should have been selling in interstate commerce. And so it ended up that I was brought before a federal magistrate, not because I'd been in the crime, but what they call conspiracy, because I knew about it, and I didn't tell anybody about it. So the attorney said, well, you know, you've never even been caught spitting on the sidewalk, you know. You're mm-hmm. you're squeaky clean, you know. You're all these other wonderful things right there. Well, I went before the federal magistrate, and Sarah T. Hughes up in Dallas, Texas, she slapped the gavel down and sentenced me to 3 years in federal prison. That was kind of a wake-up call, Peter.
Wow.
Kind of a wake-up call for it.
Your lawyer must have been shocked, because he the point of saying, look, you have zero record, you have nothing on your record at all, you didn't actually do the crime, but you did know about it, so they're probably going to give you something light. And then she shocks you by saying, I'm giving you 3 years.
Absolutely. You know, everyone kind of thought that, she thought, I assume, that we were white-collar criminals, you know, that we should have known better. We had every incentive, if you would, to live a better life because we were making money and so on and so forth. But anyways, that was a real wake-up call. You know, Peter, it's interesting with the centurion, you know, says, I'm a man under authority. I can say to people right here, you know, you go and they go and you come. And that's the way I was in business and things here. And suddenly I had people telling me when to go to bed and when I can go to the bathroom and when I could eat and everything else. And but I guess the biggest thing about
so
it...
So you entered a minimum security?
A minimum security, because I was out there with the Watergate conspirators and things here. You know, it was... In many ways, my life was much better than Nancy, because I left her at home taking care of all the bills and all these other things here. And, you know, they had a lot of amenities in this minimum security prison and things here. But anyways, but you're alone, and, you know, you're separated from your family, and you've lost all freedom and things here. And Peter, you know, looking back, it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me. I remember very well, I'm somewhat of a bright young man, and the man that was one of the Watergate conspirators was an attorney, and he had offices in New York City and Stockholm and different places here. Well, he got me appointed to the law library and a program coordinator for our unit, and I used to write Rule 35 motions for all of the other inmates, and by God's grace, I got several of these young Hispanic boys that were mules in the drug trade and stuff here, sprung on technicalities and stuff here, but I wrote some for myself, and they never worked.
Yeah.
For myself, they didn't work. And I remember the last day before there was any possibility there could be any change in my three-year sentence, and I got down on my knees in the Catholic chapel, and I said, you know, Lord, I really have kind of made a mess out of my life. You've given me so much. I had always thought of myself as a self-made man. I've never given you glory for my intelligence, for the opportunities that you have given me. I have always thought of myself as doing it myself, and Lord, I just want to repent of that. And I tell you, Lord, I can see you're using me in here. And if I have to do the 3 years here, Lord, I'll do it. I'm here for you. I belong to you, Lord. As long as I live, as long as I breathe, I will serve you if you'll take me back. It was very interesting, Peter, because the very next day at the mail call, there was a letter from the judges that sentenced me, Sarah T. Hughes' office. And she reduced my sentence from 3 years to 1.5 years, the very next day after I gave Jesus my life, and I told him that I would serve him as long as I lived. And within 2 weeks, Peter, it sounds like something out of the Acts of the Apostles, but within 2 weeks, it was a very dry year in North Texas, and the land began to crack and split, and there was cracks became in the walls of my unit. And so prison officials were concerned that maybe there was going to be a collapse of the building, and people would be killed, and there'd be lawsuits. So they made a determination that everyone that had more than 1.5 years, they sent to a maximum security prison, and everyone that had 1.5 years or less, they sent home. Within 2 weeks of giving my life to Jesus Christ, Peter, God sent me home. So sometimes people say, Lloyd, why are you so crazy for Jesus? Why do you go all of these places? You know, it's not that I could ever pay him back, because you can't pay God back, but I can at least show him and other people that I appreciate what he's done for me. And so that was another conversion, if you would, in our lives.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, that really is the journey, isn't it? Like, there's an initial conversion where the lights really start going on. You start to see yourself in light of Jesus Christ. You realize, I am a sinful human being who needs God's mercy and love. He died on a cross for me. You receive it. You say yes to it. And with all intention, you want to go. So you take those first steps. And there's always a lot of grace that seems to accompany that initial conversion.
Yes, yes.
And then down the road a piece, all of a sudden the stuff that's not healed and purified in us starts to resurface again. And, you know, we start living not so much in the light, but we kind of live in the twilight a little bit, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
And that's the story you were telling. So then living in the twilight got you in the federal penitentiary, right?
But Peter, it's kind of like St. Peter, you know. Yeah. God had to reveal his heart. And there, God, I think, showed me my heart. And he showed me, as I said, I'm not a self-made man, that everything I have belonged to Jesus Christ, and it's a gift from him. And as a gift, there's responsibility in how we live our lives, that our lives have meaning and purpose. There's a particular plan that he had for me. And I began to see, because in reaching out and helping other people while I was there, I began to see that all of these gifts that God had given me were not to be bundled up and consumed by myself, that every gift and grace is not only for myself and for my family, but for the larger church, if you would, because all of our life experiences are that. And so that really prepared me, if you would, showing me my own heart and things for the next part of our journey. And, you know, the Lord had us move and in the interim to a job opportunity, still in the automotive equipment business over in Florida. And I went into the Holy Cross Church over in Florida, and you know, I was just making money, and by this time I had acquired a couple of good Louisiana boys as sons-in-laws, and God has begun to give me some grandchildren and things here. And one day a priest by the name of Father Bob, and he had gone to a priest-deacon retreat at Franciscan University of Steubenville, and the speaker there, one of the key speakers, was a priest by the name of Father Bob Bedard, who was a founder of the Companions of the Cross. Probably many of y'all out there know Father Bob Bedard. Yeah. And anyways, one of the things that Father Bedard told my priest and all the priests that were there is that you've got to give God permission to work in your life. So, you know, Father Bob and I and my darling Nance were all good buddies. We used to pray with him every Thursday at his private chapel and things. And so he said, well, have you guys given God permission to work in your life? And we kind of looked at one another and said, well, no, I don't think so. And so my wife, she's telling this story, you know, she said, well, God, we give you permission to work in our lives. And then she says, yeah, man, you better watch out if you pray that prayer, because it's a very dangerous prayer. It's a very dangerous prayer, because God will take you at your word.
I remember Cardinal O'Connor. Remember him from New York?
Yes, I do.
He tells a story when he was going to Rome to get the red hat to become a cardinal with the other cardinals. He was kind of walking up to get in line for it, and Mother Teresa was there, and she stopped him. She was just standing there, so she stopped him, and he looked into her eyes, and she said, give God permission. And he said it just went right through him, like right to his heart. And he said it was like the Lord's, you know, command to him, you know, his marching orders. And he said it was like God just said simply, what does it mean for me to be a cardinal? What's this going to mean for me, this change in my life? I just got to give him permission. Lord, I give you permission to do whatever you want with my life. I'm your servant. I trust you. I love you. And that's basically what you're talking about, is learning that, isn't it?
It truly is, that whole experience. And, you know, Peter, it's interesting how once you do give God permission, get ready. You know, it's kind of like being opening the gates to a bucking horse, because God's going to give you an interesting ride ahead of you and things here. And without getting all the details of it, but one of the things is within approximately 2 months, God took everything away. We say God ever took everything away. The houses, the boats, the cars, the job, the savings, all of these things here. And this was kind of difficult from a person that had made lots of money. But God says, I want you to work for me. I want you to work in my vineyard. And you can't work if your hands are full of things, because the more things you have, the more those things have you. They become your masters. And God had a plan for us.
Yeah, what a journey. So I can't wait to hear more of the story. So he set you up. The priest said, you give God permission. And all of a sudden, all these things were taken away from you, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, friends, I hope you can tune in tomorrow for more of the story. Not even to the rest of the story, but more of the story tomorrow, because there's a lot that the Lord did through Lloyd and Nancy, I think, that you'd be very encouraged by. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.